Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Philemon.
Really?
No.
I said, I'm a
Yeah, that was why I waited for him to get down there. All across America, on nights just like tonight, things have become important enough to keep folks from church. And lately, within the last month or so, my Sunday school class has revolved around seeking God. I talked to Brother Siebert today. Brother Siebert told me that the one thing he notices more than anything else in America is their lack of acknowledgement for God. And we're not talking about the fuzzy-wuzzy movement that's going on right now. We're not talking about that. We're talking about actually seeking God, seeking His face. And I'm not talking about just the lost people. I'm talking about independent, fundamental Baptist Christians seeking their God. The term when I got saved was personal Savior. Do you know after you get saved, that doesn't change? Your Savior still ought to be personal to you. That being said, how personal has He been? The title of the message tonight is called, I'm Just a Fixer-Upper. Amen. I'm Just a Fixer-Upper. What happens in our lives, and I'm praying that I don't fall to it, although I believe that the stairway is down for most preachers when they get called to preach, away from God. Because it's hard in this day and age to keep God number one. I'm sure most of you know that it's hard to keep God number one. It's hard to keep that personal relationship that you were so excited and joyful about when you first got it. And what happens is you get in your mind that you're good enough or you're smart enough or you're astute enough in the Scriptures to not necessarily need to be close to your Lord anymore. You think you've come to a place where sitting in church is something that is right to do, and it is. But church should be a love affair between you and your Savior. If church was really truly what it used to be, this building would never have a time when the pews would be empty. And I don't care who's preaching, whether it's the preacher, whether it's Brother Tim Siebert, Robert, whether it's myself, Eddie, it doesn't matter who's preaching up here. What matters is that you have a love affair with the Lord your God, the Almighty One, the Lofty One. And getting that love affair with Christ all over again is what we need to do in this day and age where it's getting harder and harder every day to do. That's just what we have to do. Now, I'm looking out across this room and I believe everyone under my voice is a saved person. I'm glad because you're who I want to talk to. The folks that I want to talk to are the ones that have fell asleep at the switch. The folks that I want to talk to tonight are the ones that, and it's not necessarily your fault particularly, but it's our fault in whole. As the saved people gathered forward and the saved people moved forward through all the revival times that happened all throughout the ages and all throughout the decades of time, the revival times happened because God moved His mighty hand and the people were led and they wanted to be led. They would give in their all for their God. But what has happened to us today? I think of this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and we'll stand in a moment and read it. And as I look at this verse, I think of a house. I think of a beautiful home, which each one of you are. In the sight of God, saved people, you get to be indwelled by God, and He makes you into a wonderful, beautiful home. Throughout the ages, your home doesn't lose its ownership. God still owns you. He's bought you with a price. But throughout the years, I believe we become one very, very bad word. And that's slothful for your God. Let's stand as we read Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Again, the title of the message, I'm Just a Fixer-Upper. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. The Bible says, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Let me read that one more time to you. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Let's pray. Lord, please. I'm begging you tonight to speak through me. I'm begging you to speak to my heart. Lord, help me. Help me become something greater for you. Not for my own glory, Lord, but to help your cause. Lord, my desire is to be a good person for you. To help you as much as I possibly can. Lord, help me. This is always my prayer. Let me decrease. And Lord, let you increase. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure that just about everybody's house in this room could use a few touch-ups. In my home, I've got an addition going on my house that's been going on for some time now. I love you. I love you, honey. And it's slow going. Miss Mary knows all about this. But what we're trying to do is make our home a nicer place to live. The siding on the outside of the home certainly needs to be finished. I love you, honey. The shutters need to be updated. The wiring on the inside might need a little work. The trim may need to be fixed a little bit. There may be some rooms that need a paint job. There may be some things in that home that aren't quite up to what they used to be. Let me tell you of another building. In this building that we sit tonight, I would say 10 years ago, the preacher decided that we would make this place a nicer place to be. Put much money into it, much time and effort, because it was still a building, still God's house, but we hadn't been good stewards of God's property. The preacher decided to become a good steward of God's property. That's why we have such a nice building today. Amen. But by much slothfulness, the building that we had here has decayed, or had decayed. And it took special work and special talents and special gifts to bring that building back up to what we consider a useful building, a pretty building. And although I know this is not our this is not our permanent dwelling place, this is just something temporary, I believe God is well pleased with you keeping up to snuff His property. I got three questions about your life tonight, and I'm all done. It's real simple. Three questions about our lives as Christians. My first question, what will it take for you to stay with God? Now, you might say, well, Brother Dave, I don't understand what you're getting at. What do you mean? I don't have the choice. God saved me. I'm going to be with Him forever no matter what. I agree with that. But what will it take you to stay with God for years? To stay and maintain your life, maintain the building that God has blessed you with, called your body, maintain that attitude of Christianity throughout years and years and years and years of service. You folks have just been saved for a while. Being saved is a wonderful, joyous, great, wonderful thing, and it's a thrill to be saved. But what happens is the tarnish loses it. It starts to tarnish as you live your life and you start to draw yourself away from God. You start to become that house that decayeth. You start to become that building that loses its luster on the outside. You start to become that building. And what's sad is the people inside the home, most of the time, don't see the building the way that everyone else sees the building. You see the building from the outside and you think, well, that's my home. It's okay. It's my home. I keep it nice. It's okay. It's tidy inside. Yes, but is it just right? Is it the way it was when it was new? Is your home a nice home? Is your home something that you would be proud of? Now I want you to think about yourself. What would it take for you to stay with God? Josh came into my office just before service tonight. He said, where'd you get all the posters? And I told him that we had a Heroes revival. And I took them. Stealer. And I put them up on my wall because those are my heroes. And you might ask, well, Brother Dave, what would constitute a hero to you? It's real simple. A hero to me isn't necessarily the flashiest preacher. A hero to me isn't the greatest orator. A hero to me isn't somebody that draws thousands and thousands of people. A hero to me is one that stays with the stuff. As I looked up on that wall, I saw Brother Bevington. I saw Dr. Hiles. Dr. Sigstad. I saw our preacher. I saw Billy Sunday. And these are all folks that stood with God. Now I want you to realize something. In any preacher's life, I don't care who they are, there's times when they just don't feel like being preachers. Can I help you, Christians, tonight? There's times you're going to not feel like being a Christian. Because, folks, you're just a fixer-upper. You start out new. Well, you can't go anywhere else but old. And there comes a time in your life when you need to maintain the building that God has given you. And you're going to need to maintain that. Yes, the rapture might happen tomorrow. The Europe could go crazy. I understand all that. I see all that. But do we keep our eyes on the future? Do we keep our eyes at what we can't see? Do we keep our eyes on all those things coming? Or do we need to focus on what our homes look like? Do you need to focus on what your outward appearance is of your inward man? That was profound. We should write that down because I don't know what I just said. Do you need to focus on what you look like to yourself? See, you have to look in the mirror and understand where you need your little touch-ups. You've got to look in the mirror every day and understand that there's going to be days when you don't feel like going on. There's going to be days when you don't feel like taking that extra step forward. There's going to be a day when you don't feel like coming to church. I know that there's several people tonight that should be here, but they're not because they didn't feel like coming because something became more important. The personality of the Savior or the being personal with the Savior has gone. Being close to Christ has gone. What would it take for you kids to stay with God for 50 years?
Amen.
Think about this for a minute. I want you to grab a hold of this. I've been serving Christ now for, I think, 13 years, somewhere in that area. That's nothing. 13 years is nothing. 13 years is a drop in the bucket compared to somebody. Good Lord, Eddie's wife's been serving the Lord twice as long as I have, at least. If you want to look at somebody serving God, look at Eddie White. He serves God I'm telling you, nobody does more work than him.
Yeah.
Nobody. I don't care who you talk to anybody you want to in this room right now. Nobody does more work than this couple right here.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Are you willing to serve God long enough? Are you willing to serve God strong enough? To be able to say, you know what, I don't care what happens from this day forward. I know there's going to be days when I need to repaint the house. I know there's going to be days when I need to do some new carpet. I know there's going to be some days when I need some new trim because, bless God, I'm just a fixer-upper. But, Lord, you're going to have to fix me so I can serve you with longevity. I love people to come and get excited about Christ. Oh, it just blessed my heart because I love watching Dan today. Oh, he's so excited about getting baptized. Oh, woo! But my best friend, spent days and days and hours and hours in my family. Moving in with us. Becoming part of our lives. Yes, he was excited too. Well, kid, I want you to get something here. Do you know that God is real? He's really real. But folks, God is not something that's just written down in a book. God is really real.
Yeah.
He is really real.
Yeah.
God is really real tonight. Have we forgot? Have we literally gone through our lives and become so engrossed in emotions that society has fell off on the outside of our homes? Has it come to the point where we've been so slothful in our Christian life that our house is dropping through?
first came, your preacher told me you'll see the progression of a man down into sin. You'll see him drop out on Wednesday nights. Then you'll see him drop out on Sunday school.
Right.
Then you'll see him drop out on Sunday nights.
Right.
And then he's just dropped out. The house fell through. Is the house still God's house?
Amen. Yeah, it's still God's house.
And I believe with all my heart that my friend is a saved man, and I believe he's going to be in heaven.
But I got news for you.
Brother Carl, God's going to look at him and say, you let your house drop the roof.
Yeah.
You let your house come to disarray. And I'm going to tell you right now, what you've got to understand is this. There's going to be a day when you come to the point where I don't know if I want to serve God anymore. You're going to come to that day. If you haven't come to it yet, just hang on. It'll get to that point. You will come there.
That's right.
But then you've got to understand this, that God still owns your home. And you can't default on the loan, brother.
Amen.
You've got to say, you know what? This is the time. This is the time when I've got to decide, you know what? I'm going to go this way and not that way. I'm going to go forward for God and not backward. I'm not going to let my house drop through. I ask you a question. How will you be able to stay with God? Will you be able to do it? Because the day's going to come when you have the choice. I'm just a fixer-upper. God desires to help you fix up your home.
Yes.
And his loans to help you fix up the house, they are interest-free.
Amen.
I'm just a fixer-upper, you say. That's all God wants. Second question.
I'll tell you what. Let me backtrack a little bit. Go to 1 Corinthians. This is a very, very common verse. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. But I want to read you 57 first. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He built us a home. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Because of this, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We get so caught up with I don't have time. And we've talked about that a little bit over there. I'm going to be honest with you. You have time. Don't look at me like you don't. You have time. Because you have time for whatever it is that you would like to do.
That's right.
Now, I've done some remodeling. And you make time. You make time for what you want to do.
Right.
If you don't want to do electric, electric's going to sit for a while.
You're right.
It's just the way it is. If you don't want to do siding, siding's going to sit for a while.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something, folks. Every one of us in this room needs some remodeling. Every one of us. Every one of us, starting with me, and I'm probably the worst. I need to have the whole house raised, have the foundation redone. Trust me, I've got problems in my life. But I'm going to tell you right now, so do you. And if you'd look in the mirror and realize how much you need help, I really believe it would help you out to become steadfast and unmovable.
Yeah.
Because God's already given you the victory. But you've got to become steadfast and unmovable. Turn to Galatians 5:1. I like this verse. The Bible says in 5:1 of Galatians, stand fast, therefore. Stand fast. In other words, don't move. Stand fast where you are. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He's made you free. Stand fast in that liberty where he has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, fix up your house. Oh, yeah, we've had some people that have fallen off to the wayside and become entangled again in the bondage that they were set free from when Christ came. He was set free when they accepted him as a Savior, but they can't wait to go back into that bondage. Don't go back into the bondage. Don't go back to where you were. Come out of that. What would it take? What would it take for you to stay with God? What would that take? For you to go 30 years and still love God? What would it take? What would it take to never take a sabbatical on God? What would it take to never take a moment away from God? Always be abounding in Him. What would it take? You want to know who the heroes are? The ones who stand fast. The one who stood fast and helped us to have what we have today. That's the ones that stood fast, gave their lives for us while we sit idly by and let that memory be forgotten. Second question. What will it take for you to pray to God? Now, we talk about prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. I want you to turn to Psalm 142, and I want to show you something. One of the greatest verses is 142, verse 4. I love that verse. But I read through this several times, and folks, I heard something here, and I got to share it with you. In Psalm 142, 1, this is David, and he's running, and he's scared. And I'm telling you right now, he's to a point where he wants to throw up his hands. And he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Listen to the second verse. Listen to these words. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit, listen to this, listen, you got to get a hold of this, folks. How many are living this today? How many are living these verses today? My spirit was overwhelmed within me when Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Verse 4 says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord, and said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. I love this. For they are stronger than I. Folks, the devil is stronger than you. Jesus Christ can whip the devil. Why don't we call upon Him? Bring my soul, listen to this, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. What will it take for you to cry out to God for help? When is the last time you cried out to God and poured yourself out to Him? When was the last time you realized that your house was too far gone for you to fix? When was the last time that you realized your foundations were crumbling, your walls were coming down? It was more than just a paint job. Now you need professional help. And who better to call than Jesus Handyman Service? I can't make that next step. I'm still in that bondage. My soul is in prison. Lord, can You free me? And He says with a resounding, yes, I can. We work so hard every single day to not need God.
Yeah.
We work so hard every day. Don't worry about the finances. I've got it covered, honey. I'm going to make enough money. Don't worry about that. I've got it covered. How many times have you said that? Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. If we would call upon God in the little things, we would certainly not cease to call upon Him in the big things. If we would call upon Him before our house started to crumble, I promise you He would keep our house in perfect, maintained form. But in this day and age, we say, well, we don't have any time. What you don't have time for is to remember that you need God. What you don't have time for is to pray. And we talk about prayer as a side note. We talk about prayer as something, well, it was a good message, brother, but I'm not going to take it home with me. Folks, can I challenge you tonight? You need to pray. And I'm not talking about praying for the things that we've talked about, although I think we should pray for those things. And I know that we should pray for each other on the directory like I've often challenged you to do. And I understand that you should pray for this and this and this and this over here. But when's the last time that you got down on your knees and cried out from your heart to God about you? Look, Brother Stephen talked about it. He started out this morning talking about it. When was the last time you said, Lord, I'm sorry? When was the last time? God forgives me. Yeah, he does, but boy, it sure would be nice to have contact with him once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, I got news for you. I ran a handyman service successfully or un. Doesn't really matter. I ran it for a little while. You know, they wouldn't get any work on their house done until they called me? That seems stupid. But you know, Brother Carl, unless my phone rang, I didn't know where to go. It was a job. Although, you could pretty much put me anywhere in Hudson and I'd work in any of those homes, yes. Good money, Hudson. But I'm going to tell you right now, unless they gave me a call, I didn't know where to go. Now, I understand you can't compare it because God knows where to go all the time. But the Lord sure would like his phone to ring.
Yeah.
The Lord sure would like to know that you care about pouring your heart out to the one that set you free.
Yes.
The Lord, see, here's what's happened in America today. We don't remember that God is real. We've gotten to a point where, why do I need God? I've got the internet. Why do I need God? I've got money in the bank. Why do I need God? I've got a beautiful home. Why do I need God? I've got all these great things. Why do I need to come back to church? I don't need to come back to church. I've got things I've got to do because things have become more important. And I promise you, there's going to be a day when we are going to go to heaven. We're going to look God right in the eye. And God's going to say, why did you not stay with me? Why did you not pray to me? Why did you not talk to me? I'm the one that set you free.
Amen.
There's going to be a day. And I believe the hardest thing for us to take, Brother Brian, will be the simple fact that we did not do the only thing that he asked us to do.
Amen.
See, we live in a day and age where, yes, I'm just a fixer-upper. I understand that. I'm not worth much. Matter of fact, I'm probably the... If you had to do a comparable market on this old fixer-upper right here, I'm the least value home in this room right now. Okay? I'm the one-bedroom efficiency with a fold-up-in-the-wall bed. But God loves me. God cares for me, and God wants to help me be greater than I can be. For Him, not for me. For Him. And when I looked at that wall, I looked at the men on that wall. One thing they had, or a couple things they had in common. One, they served God for a long time. Two, they prayed to God. They talked about their prayers to God. They talked about how they poured themselves out to God. They talked about how they laid on the ground and prayed to Him for hours on end because they hadn't reached God's power. See, God's power is a side note. God's power. What do we need God's power for? Dr. Hiles said he prayed for God's power every day. Because God's power is real. Do you understand that, kids? I'm not talking about it's an electrical source. I'm talking about God's power is real. It is really, really real. And what's happened in America is we forgot about God. You know what's made us susceptible to terrorism? Not the fact that we have broken down a wall that freedom come in. It's the fact that we forgot about God. We forgot about God here. We have forgotten the simple fact that God desires you to stay with Him and God desires you to pray to Him. The third question, what will it take for you to obey Him? Obedience is the very best way. Anyways, I want to tell you to pull something right now. Doing what God has told us to do is not something that you need to pray about.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
Witnessing to people is not something you need to pray about.
Amen.
Coming to church when the doors are open is not something you need to pray about.
Right.
Helping a fellow person up is not something you need to pray about.
Amen.
God has commanded us to do all those things. What will it take for you to obey God? What will it take, preacher, for us to start doing what God has asked us to do? What will it take, preacher, for us to forgive our worldly life, for us to leave behind all those things over here and start going this way? What will it take for us to look upon God and say, you know what, God, I need you today. I don't need that. Because the things of the earth will grow strangely dim when you've got your eyes upon Jesus Christ. I can't get off my computer. Put your eyes on God.
Yeah.
And folks, I know this. This preach is good, but what will you do with it when you leave here?
Yeah.
I'm not concerned with the altar call. I'm not concerned with the accolades. I'm not concerned with getting my hand shook on the way out the door. You know what I'm concerned with? I'm concerned with God. Will you change my heart through this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, will you change my heart? See, I'm not preaching to the people as a whole tonight. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you personally. God is asking you, what will it take? What will it take for you to stay with me? What will it take for you to never dip your colors? So sick and tired of all these mamby-pamby preachers dipping their colors. What will it take for you to keep the NIV out of the church?
Yeah.
What will it take for you to not compromise on your music? What will it take for you to not go to the wacky service times? What will it take for you to do all those things and stay with me?
Yeah.
What will it take? Preachers are ditching miles and miles around. They're ditching. They don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Too hard of a fight. They get older. They don't want to fight anymore. I got news for you. I got no stock in a guy that just dips his colors and runs. I'm glad I serve a preacher that sticks with the King James Bible. I'm glad I serve a preacher that cares about the old music. I'm glad I serve a preacher that cares about the old ways. And I promise you, that's going to be me when I get older too.
Yeah.
They may try to throw me out. God bless them. I hope they do. But I'm not dipping. What will it take to stay? What will it take to pray? What will it take to obey? Turn to James chapter 1. I love this book. James is phenomenal. Because he puts it right where it's at. I love this. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If you come to this church, and I'm just going to put it right where it meets the road tonight, folks. If you come to this church, you don't involve yourself in ministry, you're looking in the mirror and forgetting who you are. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you look in the mirror and really look at yourself, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
You can't escape the fact that you're a sinner. In a world of mansions, we are mobile homes. Not the mobile home's bad. Whoever has a mobile home, don't seek me out after church. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we're sinners saved by grace. If you behold yourself in a glass and you forget all about what you were when you saw just a couple minutes ago, you're not going to be a doer of the word. Now, why would you be a doer of the word if you remember who you were? It's real simple. You'll serve Christ if you remember what he did for you.
Yeah.
You'll serve Christ. You'll get into the bus ministry. You'll sweep the church. You'll do, I don't care what part of the, well, I'm searching for the will of God in my life. The will of God in your life is to serve him. Real simple. I love the guy. I don't know what the will of God is. I'm just lost. You know how many things there are around this church you can do for the will of God?
Yeah.
But what happens is, and this is what Eddie got all wound up in, he started doing the will of God everywhere he went. Next thing you know, he's got seven jobs. See, what happens is you get involved in the will of God. Next thing you know, you're preaching on mission. Next thing you know, you're doing senior program. Next thing you know, you're over here. I'm going to tell you right now, by the time you do the will of God, and the Lord will put you in his will. If you're seeking out him, which goes back to pray, and which goes back to staying. Because if you don't stay with him, you're not going to find out his will, because he says, you're gone anyway. If you don't pray to him, he's not going to put you anywhere, because you're talking to him.
Right.
We've got to, as a church, to go forward, and this is simple stuff, to go forward, Brother Brian, we've got to be involved.
Yeah.
We've got to serve the living God. You know what would fill this church, Brother Robert? I love visitation. I'm glad we knocked on doors. Amen to all that. But you know what's going to fill this church? Word of your mouth. I've said it before. Get excited about your
church, people will come.
Yeah.
You get excited about God doing something, people will come.
Right.
It's not just the preacher's obligation to build this church.
Yeah.
It's all of our obligations. Yeah. If we want to serve God, it's your job too. And what's happened is we've fallen by the wayside and through slothfulness, and this is where it's at, is through slothfulness. Because you're lazy. Well, I got too much going on. That's lazy. You have too much going on in your mind. But I guarantee you, God can make a way to have His work be done. Would you not agree with that?
Yes.
God's pretty good at that kind of stuff. So what will it take for you to stay with Him? What will it take for you to pray to Him? What will it take for you to obey Him and be a doer of the Word? And not a hearer only. I'm thankful that people come and hear preaching. I'm thankful. But how good can they feel about themselves just coming in and walking out, coming in and walking out, coming in and walking out, coming in and walking out? How good can they feel about themselves not doing something for someone else? You say, well, Brother Dave, I don't serve anything, and you're offending me right now. I'm not sorry. Because you find more joy in serving others than you'll ever find in serving yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You'll find more joy in helping a brother or a sister than you'll ever find in helping yourself.
Right.
You'll find more joy in going down to the mission and hearing Brother Tom preach to people who just don't have God. You'll find more joy in leading a small one in Christ out of the bus ministry than you ever will not riding a bus. You'll find more joy going with us to the senior trips and watch Tom fall out of the bus. You'll find more joy in singing a solo at church like my brother-in-law. What a phenomenal voice.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful he's singing for us again.
Yeah.
See, what happened is, he got a remodel. I don't care if he's embarrassed or not. He got him a remodel.
Yeah.
Oh, one time his house was big and beautiful. And for a while there, man, it came. Went off a little bit. Folks, I'm glad he's here because he's got new siding on the house.
Yeah.
He's put some new carpet in there.
Yeah.
He's still a sinner. He still makes mistakes.
Right.
But bless God. He's staying with you.
Yeah.
He's praying to you. And he's obeying it.
Yeah.
He's using what he's got for God. And I would bet that if I asked him, he would tell me it's so much better here than it ever was there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how much fun you're having. If you're having it without God, it won't last. And if you're having fun with God, it doesn't matter how little the fun is. It'll always be fun. The bus work is only a little fun. But it's always a little fun.
Amen.
See, folks, we've got to understand something. We all have one thing in common. And this is what I'm so delighted that the Lord has shown me. We all have one thing in common. We're all sinners, saved by grace.
Yeah.
We're all fixer-uppers.
Yeah.
We've all got problems. We've all got issues. We've all got to search ourselves and find out exactly what needs to be repaired. Amen?
Yeah.
And we can do that by three simple things. Staying with God. Don't ever leave Him. Don't ever turn your back on Him. Pray to God. Talking to Him. Pouring your heart out to Him. And obeying God. Let's just do what He says. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just do what He says.
Lord, please be with us in a special way tonight. Lord, let us have a heart change. Lord, let me have a heart change. A change that I will fix myself to understand that I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. A heart change to realize that I'm never going to bail on you. I don't care how bad it gets. Lord, please help me to have that kind of attitude. Lord, help me to have the attitude of prayer. that no matter what, I seek your face. I seek you out. Lord, help me to pour myself out to you instead of imposing myself on others first. And Lord, help me to obey you. Help me to do what you've told me to do. You've called me to be a preacher. Don't understand it. Never will. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you did. Lord, help me to always maintain my home. Help me to never let my home be in disarray. Help me not to let my home decay and be less worthy of serving you. Lord, help me tonight. Come down in a special way and anoint these folks. Be with them. Help us all to realize we're fixer-uppers. But at least we're going up. Thank you, Lord. Sure do love you tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around tonight. Just you and the Lord. What a great message. Tonight, I wonder, as we look inside our hearts, do we need a fix-em-upper? Do we need that fix-em-upper? How many say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. As Brother David preached, God spoke to my heart. I see, yes, God bless you, yes, 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 yes. I see some things in my house, in my life, that I need fixed up. Would you pray for me? Pray for me. Yes, yes. God bless you. You know, I'm not going to sing tonight. I'm just going to have Rosie. I see the hand. Thank you, honey. She's just going to play. Maybe some of you just like to come down to the altar and say, God, I need you to fix me up. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message. What a great challenge to draw close to you. Lord, I pray that you'll just draw us tonight. Knit our hearts with your hearts. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. Rosie's going to play. You want to come and pray as she plays? You just come. Come and pray as she plays. If you want to come and pray, you come. Oh God, help me. Help me. Lord, I need a lot of help. You might feel like David in that Psalms 142 where you're just crying out, oh God, help me. Your life might just be seem overwhelming right now and you need help. Why don't you ask him? You make the phone call tonight. The handyman will answer. God's handyman service. What can I do for you? I'm going to tell you, teenagers, I love you, kids. I'm really proud of you, kids. No one makes those kids come back here on a Sunday night,
right.
Yet they're still in church.
Amen.
God bless you, teenagers. Keep staying in church. Preacher didn't get saved till he was 20 years old. But I've been in church almost ever since, outside about 11 months. Since I've been around 22 years old, I've been in church solid. 22, 57. What is that? 35 years? Preachers hung in there for 35 years. Come too far now to quit. Never once enters my mind to drop my convictions. That never ends. Sometimes you get tired in the work, not of it, but you get tired in it. There's a difference. You just got to stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Hold firm to what you know is true. Stay true to God. Glad you're here tonight. Great message, wasn't it? Got some real preachers in this church. I'll tell you, we got some real preachers. The only thing I regret about that message, you didn't have that lapel mic on, and I don't know if we're going to have it taped. But other than that, it was a great message. Amen?
Amen.
Tremendous encouragement. Thank you, Dave. What a blessing. We're going to pray in just a minute, but I want you to come by and let Brother David know that you're encouraged by his message. It was a real blessing, wasn't it? All righty. Brother Steve Browning, would you lead us in prayer, Brother Steve?